During the presidential campaign, Donald Trump promised to lower the price of prescription drugs. This past week, he signed an executive order adding to his already substantial lead in presidential history for executive orders, calling for the price of prescription drugs to, in fact, be lowered. Sounds great, doesn't it? Of course it does. But that is until you look at the details, or lack thereof, for how the lower prices would come about. Well, let's put it this way. Some are saying slim and none create the need for a coin to toss. With us now to examine the executive order, what it may actually result in is healthcare policy expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Jeremy Nagosian. How are you today, Jeremy?
Great. How are you?
Good to have you here to help clear up some confusion because, well, we'll get into some of the comments in a moment. CEI.org, you can read more about Jeremy's insights and the other experts and the other issues that the Competitive Enterprise Institute addresses. It almost sounded like Trump is harking back to his infomercial days in the manner of speaking because he's talking about all these great ideas and great numbers coming through and 60, 70, 90% price reductions mathematically, he adds, which I don't know any other way to reduce prices but mathematically, but be that as it may. But as far as substance in this executive order, where is it?
Well, there's not really a lot of it. I think the underlying issue, he does hit on something as far as the prices themselves. The United States does pay higher prices on name brand drugs than a lot of the rest of the world. But beyond that, I think it's pretty thin on the details. I think, as you were pointing out, that his suggestions of how much he could drive down the prices is almost certainly an overstatement. And even the tools that he is proposing to use probably won't have very much of an effect. And you can see that a little bit in the reaction from Wall Street, where drug company prices actually increased on the day of the announcement because they thought the situation was going to be better for them than they were anticipating before the executive order was signed.
It's almost like they were thinking what he is threatening was going to be the first step. Meaning if they don't follow through, we'll get into, again, the specifics again, but they're basically the drug companies are on, as they say in the NFL draft, they're on the clock now for the next 30 days.
That's right. And yeah, they have more than that. They have 6 months. Over the next 30 days, President Trump has instructed his Commerce Department to just look at prices across the world to compare them to what are the prices in the United States. So over the next 30 days, administrators will just be looking at what prices are being paid in Europe and in Asia for some of these drugs and then compare it to the United States. And then after that, if the drug companies don't do anything between now and then the Trump administration said they're going to start looking at how they might compel the drug companies to charge the United States less. And some of those tools include considering importation of those drugs or they said also that what they might do is look at enforcing some antitrust regulations on some of these drug companies. But even that, it's unclear how they can apply antitrust to these drug companies with regards to what prices they're charging in the United States, which are negotiated by commercial interests and freely.
Looked up the stat, 2024, U.S. imported $213 billion worth of medicines. And just as a historical comparison, that's 2.5 times more than the total was a decade earlier. So a business person hears that number and thinks, well, the U.S. is a pretty good customer for the international drug operations and drug businesses. Why don't we get better deals?
Well, yeah, it's important to see that the drug companies, the drug industry is a global industry now, and it's becoming more so. And part of that import isn't just name brand drugs, but also includes some of the base products that go into producing them here. So sometimes we farm out some of the cheaper ingredients that go into the drugs, and then import them and then add value in the United States like we do with many other products. As far as why we're paying higher prices, it's also important to know that to differentiate between brand name drugs and generic drugs. And in fact, the United States pays lower prices for generic drugs than most of these countries in the world. It's just the name brand drugs where we're paying a premium. And I think that shows that the competition really works well to reduce the prices. For the generic drugs, there's a lot more competition as the name brand drugs are generally protected by patents. And so part of the reason that we're paying higher prices on the name brand drugs is because the Americans are funding innovation, that we're paying a little bit of a premium to ensure that the drug companies continue to research and develop new drugs and new treatments for health issues. If we potentially reduce the price, then we're going to reduce that incentive.
And access to these drugs, too, are also important, not just for the drug companies, but for – I was on the website for the Muscular Dystrophy Association the other night, and you look at the past 5 years, and individual researchers have done great inroads with treatments for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. They're making inroads with ALS and related neuromuscular diseases. Without access to drugs, not just the drug companies, but researchers could get impacted as well, couldn't they?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and access is a really important issue. We don't get to hear this news very often, but if you look at news stories from across the world on drugs, you'll see that some of these countries that President Trump wants to emulate and import their prices are suffering from shortages or delays in access to the same treatments. Places like Japan and Australia sometimes have to wait 2 years to have access to the same drugs that the United States gets. Almost immediately. And so we have to be sure that we're weighing the cost and the benefits to some of these policies. If we're reducing the price, just like with any goods, there are going to be unintended effects of that. And we have to be very cognizant of what those might be and what those effects will be.
So Jeremy Nagosian, who is healthcare policy expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Is one of the differences to the structure of respective healthcare systems. For example, here in the U.S., if you say the healthcare system, you're going to see maybe a dozen different elements sitting at the table, all looking to come to some sort of agreement with drug coverage and prescription drug availability. If you go to Europe, Australia, Japan, isn't the system, the healthcare system, more streamlined, and there are fewer people having to talk and negotiate with each other, so agreements come about faster and at a much more lower price?
I think agreements do come faster, and I think you're probably right that you could describe that as more streamlined. There are definitely more parties negotiating in the United States. We have the government through Medicare, Medicaid. We have states at the table as well. And then we have the commercial insurers and PBMs and of course, the drug manufacturers themselves, and they're all vying for different things, some want higher prices, some want lower prices, some want access and to ensure that there's a ready supply for their customers. In the other countries that are using government systems to determine the price, you're right, it's just a few experts, maybe a committee that they're looking at all the numbers and trying to crunch them and come up with a price. But the market system works best when you do have a lot of competing interests, because that's the only way that the price can balance out all of the interests all at once. And if you have government committees or agents that are looking at research that was done in their country, maybe that only applies to their country, that only applies to some select group of people, perhaps, that doesn't include some of the outside influences and effects that are going on in an economy at any time or healthcare at all, then you're going to miss all of that. Yet with market-based prices, when you do have a lot of people at the table negotiating, then the price will comprise all of that information.
You mentioned influences. Should we be concerned about an influence whispering into Trump's ear, the head of HHS, who sees diet and exercise a greater benefit for health versus vaccine and prescription drugs?
Well, I'd say you should always be worried about particular interests in the ears of anyone with power. So I would definitely agree with that. And And that's another part of the market process that circumvents that issue. And so the more regulation you have, the more of a problem that could be. But the less regulated it is, the less of a problem.
To talk about this as we wrap up here with Jeremy Boghossian from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, is the timeline. I mean, it's great to promise something, but to do it carefully as opposed to do it rapidly, huge difference of what your end result is going to be. And if you look back in history, too, not even that far back, mid-70s, last maybe real serious attempt in America for any type of price control actions from the federal government, and that didn't end well. As if you remember 1975 and 76, rather less than fondly, what is possible? Because obviously the drug company's first and foremost priority for them is to protect their yard, protect their profits. And if America becomes unfriendly to medical commerce, then they'll go play somewhere else more.
Yeah, I think that's a concern. As far as what can be done, it seems like one of the best approaches might be to try to find ways to increase competition. And that's a little trickier in the pharmaceutical market because of the patent system and the very low cost of manufacturing drugs once you have spent all of the research money and dollars to create them. But for the government, one thing they could look at is just looking at their regulatory burden and what are the requirements that they're putting on these companies before they can research and develop new treatments and market them to the citizens. So the FDA looks at safety and efficacy and evaluates drugs based on both of those. But maybe relaxing the efficacy slightly might help improve the availability of different drugs and increased competition, which could drive down the price.
Which you've seen that proven as possible back during the COVID pandemic and Operation Warp Speed. Not to say that everything should be put on the fast track. Obviously, some require more precautions than others, but certainly that would, if you reduce the cost for the manufacturer, thereby the cost for the consumer also gets reduced. Learn more about this issue and other true factual, meaningful issues. That's the focus of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. He is a healthcare policy expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Jeremy Boghossian, thanks so much for the education, the information, for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a great day.